I love these epic intros.
Yeah, me too.
Hello, the NFL prime time, they know what's up. That's perfect.
Well, there's certain ones like there's good or kind of decent sort of pump up ones like your Friday Monday night football ones have always been pretty good too. So
yeah, true.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This is week two of the NFL, which, as we'll go through, I'll list all the games, but it's, I don't know, for me week two is just pretty much injury week, really.
Yeah, and it seems to be, you know, obviously there was injuries across the league this week in week two, but there's a lot of people cracking up at the surface at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. So whether there's anything, sort of underlying there, sort of read a few things that apparently it's all new turf and nobody's really had any issues with it when they practice or anything on it. So it's just a bit funny that now that there's games being played on it and we've had a slew of injuries this week in the San Francisco New York Jets game.
Yeah, well, so I'll run through the scores. The first game was the Friday night. Who knows what it was going to be, but the Browns got away with the win 35-30 over the Bengals.
That was a really fun game to watch.
There's a lot to talk about in that game, actually. Next one was the Bears beating the Giants 17-30. I don't think any New York team's going to go good this year. My God, are they going to be a dumpster fire?
I think the Jets are in line for a very, 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 very high pick.
As a matter of fact, you may say very high quarterback. The Cowboys, beat the Falcons 40-39. My God, that game. The Packers beat the Lions 42-21. The Titans 33-30 over the Jaguars, who seem to be sticking in the games, which is interesting.
That's true.
The Colts beat the Vikings 28-11. They're starting 0-2 at the moment. The Bills beat the Dolphins.
That was a stinky, stinky, stinky game by Kirk Cousins.
I don't know. There's something going on there. 31-28 Bills over the Dolphins. The 49ers, we'll talk about it soon, but riddled with injuries, still come away against the Jets 31-13. The Rams beating the Eagles 37-19, although, you know, the way the Eagles are playing, everybody can beat them. The Steelers beating the Broncos 26-21. Excuse me, the Buckies getting their first win, well, Tom Brady era win, over the Panthers 31-17. The Cardinals starting real hot 30-15 over the Washington. The Chiefs beating the Chargers 23-20. The Ravens beating the Texans 33-16. The Seahawks beating the Patriots. That was a very good game up until
that. That was a crazy game too.
That last sort of quarter, well, last couple of minutes in that quarter. And the Tuesday game in Australia was the Raiders beating the Saints 34-24.
Just like you last week. I won't talk about that.
No, but we'll start with that first game, the Bengals. Like you said, the Bengals and the Browns. It was interesting for a couple of things. So the first thing that obviously stood out in terms of statistics was Joe Burrow became the first quarterback or rookie quarterback in history to throw 60 attempts without an interception.
No, yeah, that was insane. Yeah, he had three touchdowns as well. The only thing that was sort of a little bit, not so much disappointing about that, but he only had one completion that was for over 20 yards. So a lot of it was sort of, you know, dink and dunk, around the line of scrimmage and stuff like that. There wasn't a lot of, yards after contact or anything like that. That was and that's what I mean. Like, you know, he would have had a seriously sore, you know, forearm, elbow and shoulder that night.
I think the reason the Browns got it done in that game was their two running backs, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. They were just Nick Chubb was phenomenal, but even Kareem Hunt was brilliant.
I guess that's what the doctor ordered. I think, you know, like we sort of got stuck into Baker Mayfield a little bit last week about some poor options. You know what I mean? Yeah. Some poor options that he sort of have. True. Well, not poor options, but you know, the the way that he sort of goes about it, and this could be the way, really the way out of it for the Cleveland Browns, is just to have this heavy, heavy dose of the run game.
Well, I mean, Nick Chubb ran, did 22 carries, 124 yards. That's a pretty high workload. So
no, that's right. Well, the combination between both of them, Chubb and Hunt, was 32 rushes carries for 210 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, and three touchdowns. So that's, I guess, when you're in a bit of a funk, like the Browns sort of are offensively, and once again, you sort of you go back to it. You've got guys like Jarvis Landry, you know, Odell Beckham had a couple of catches and a touchdown, but you've got so many receiving options. But if all you're doing is just pounding the ball, then nobody's getting any touches.
Right. Well, this is true.
And that's only going to last so long.
I did work for a couple of teams last year, in that, aka the Tennessee Titans with Derrick Henry. That worked pretty well last year.
That's true. Although, they didn't really have those sort of quintessential, you know, high end number one wide receivers. The Browns have got two of them.
Yeah.
Plus.
Yeah.
You know, David Njoku, plus Austin Hooper.
Plus Jarvis, you know, Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham.
Yeah, that's right. They've got, like I said last week, it's a smorgasbord.
Yeah. What do you think? It's only been two games. What do you think so far, Joe Burrow?
Look, he doesn't look overawed.
No, that's fair. That's a good point, really. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, 37-61, that's not ideal. You know, for your second game as a professional to be going out there and throwing that much. But yeah, I don't think they look that overawed, and they still put 30 points on. Yeah, like we said, he threw for three touchdowns. So I think it'll be working up a decent rapport with AJ Green and Tyler Boyd. It seems
I think
that,
it's Tyler Boyd more. I don't know AJ Green.
I think so. He's got the number of Tyler Boyd tattooed on his arm at the moment. So that seems to be the go to guy at the moment. And he was, that's, I mean, obviously Joe Burrow wasn't there last year, but Tyler Boyd, you know, carried a lot of that load last year with AJ Green being out the whole year. So, he's not overawed by the moment.
He's not overawed. He's clearly not ready, but he's not overawed. Yeah, I agree with that. Definitely.
The thing that sort of hurt him a little bit too was the injury near the end of the game to Azuma, the tight end for the Bengals.
Yeah. Because he was playing pretty good in that game.
He was. And then he went to Drew Sample a lot. I think he had seven catches. So yeah, that was his sort of dink and dunk option. He was only averaging six and a half yards per run. So and you know that's it's all part and parcel of it, I guess. But yeah, like we said, it's the heavy dose of the run. If you don't have to make Baker Mayfield throw all that often, then that by the looks of it could be a short term recipe for success.
I think, and when he needs to, even with that, when he needed to, he had Odell Beckham there, and you know, when he got a touchdown and a couple of decent catches, you know, getting 74 yards. So
no, that's right.
I think you're right. I think if they, you know, they've got two high class elite running backs, use them like they did, 32 carries, and you still got some weapons if you need to throw it. But don't concentrate on throwing all the time just because you got weapons. So it's
I guess that's a good week to week adjustment. Mm. Yeah, they've seen that it wasn't going extremely well last week with Baker Mayfield sort of throwing as much as what he did. So it's just like, right, let's just reduce the workload. Let's use our offensive line. Let's try and create a scheme where we can get the running game and it'd be dominant.
Is it me? I'm assuming now that Jarvis Landry is a fully fledged, now that Austin Hooper's there, he's a fully fledged wide receiver, isn't he? Because he was playing a lot of tight end last year.
Yeah, look, I think he always was, but it's whether they line him up at tight end, whether they line him up in the slot, like I think
Probably doesn't matter, yeah.
It doesn't really matter. Like, Odell Beckham is going to be your long threat most of the time, and he's going to be the guy that plays your quintessential right out wide. Yeah. Even though I guess most wide receivers can play in the slot anyway. Some do it a little bit better than others, but
yeah.
I think Landry now is probably more of a slot receiver rather than your traditional wide out.
Which isn't too bad, because if he's quick enough to in that slot, he's definitely tall enough. So
make a living on being a slot receiver.
Yeah. Next game I wanted to touch on, just going down the list, the chaotic 40-39 game of the Falcons going down to the Cowboys. I mean, my God, I watched the game, and after the first quarter, I nearly had to buy a new TV because it was 20-0.
That's right. And Dallas just kept giving Atlanta opportunities. There was four first half fumbles, three of them lost. God.
Yeah,
by the Cowboys. It's just like they're 20-0 on the hole, straight up.
Yeah,
and you're just like, what? Well, just wow.
Yeah. And then they just, I mean, the second quarter was pretty even, and they sort of get started to chime and get it. The defense at least started to chime together in the third quarter, but that fourth quarter was just.
Cowboys scored 30 points in the second half.
Yeah, that's right.
Everything just began to click.
It did, and you're right. I mean, you know, he was finding. I mean, Prescott got 450 yards, so 47.
Yeah, that's right. He just got working.
And everybody was catching. CeeDee Lamb got 106 yards. Amari Cooper got 100 yards. Dalton Schultz, the tight end at the moment, it got 88. So it was it clearly was the way to go. Like, I mean, Zeke still got some yards in the running game, but Dax was doing what he did last year. You know, he got getting over 400 yards in a lot of games. Their biggest problem is what happened in the first bit. It wasn't so much that the fumbles, which isn't great, but their biggest problem is their defense. Matt Ryan and it happened in the first round as well with Jared Goff. They have injuries. They've got Van Der Esch out, Awuzie's out. But, God, my God, they give the quarterback so much time to throw the ball. I could probably – if I slowed it down, it'd probably be a half an hour. That's how long it takes if I did a slow-mo.
And that's the thing. And one guy that you don't really want to be giving a whole lot of time to is Matt Ryan, because he'll make you pay.
Oh, he's too consistent to make you pay. He didn't have that Matt Ryan game. Not that 273 yards is – you know, it's not terrible, and he got four touchdowns, but he didn't have that quintessential Matt Ryan game generally.
Nah, and I think that was not so much that was a sort of part of the problem, whether or not they sort of shriveled up in the second half, you know, whether they couldn't quite get going, you know, after the hot first quarter. You know, I guess, you know, they'd scored 29 points in the second half, and then they just fell flat on – you know, in the corner, and yeah, as Dallas started to come back and wrestle that momentum back, and then when you fast forward to the fourth quarter, Atlanta is still up 15, and there's 4 minutes 45 left in regulation.
Yeah,
and they're up 15. You think you should be able to hold on to a lead? Oh, hang on a minute, what did they do in the Super Bowl a couple of years? Oh, sorry, my bad.
Well, it seems to be. I don't get it. It just. You know, they're a side that doesn't really. I mean, they picked up Todd Gurley, but they're not a side that goes really in the market. You don't hear about them either going in the market. They never get any draft picks because, well, they're starting 0-2 now, but they generally never get any high draft picks. So they're
that middle tier. They're that middle tier team where you're never going to get you're never going to get a top 10 draft pick. It's always going to be 10-20. Yeah, maybe a little bit later you might make the playoffs and you'll get bounced in the wild card round, or I'd say they're never going to get any super high draft picks unless they whether they start trading some of their stars away, which I hope doesn't happen. But
I don't think it'll happen. But
no, it won't happen. They're just that middle of the table, type team where it's at the moment it's sort of coming down to their coaching. And they've got plenty. They've got two terrific receivers. Obviously, Julio Jones is next level, but Calvin Ridley ever since he was drafted a few years ago, I think this is his third or fourth season, he is terrific.
Oh, 100%. He played phenomenal in that game. Towards the end there, I think it was, it looked like that Julio Jones got injured. So Kelvin really ended up getting 109 yards and two touchdowns.
He was hampered by hamstring. And Ridley is he just absolutely is cashing in on the double teams that they throw out at Julio Jones. And now that Julio Jones is out, he is going to cash in big time.
And I think he's got good hands too. I think even if Julio Jones was there, I think he had a pretty good season last year when Julio was there.
Even in Calvin Ridley's rookie season, he had he's been really good. He's sort of, as he's gone on in his career, he's getting more and more prominent as the season goes on. What's he caught? 4 or 5 touchdowns already this season? He's staying in games. He's commanding the respect and earning the trust of the quarterback, the offensive coordinator, and the head coach. That yes, I can be a go-to guy in this system.
I can be an elite wide receiver like Julio Jones. Right.
Let's get into the good stuff. The onside kick.
So a friend put this to me. I mean, Dallas ran down really quickly, got a touchdown by Dak Prescott. So they got pretty quick there, and the score was 39-37. And then obviously after that sort of touchdown, then they produced a field goal by Greg Zuerlein. Before that, was the onside kick before that sort of Greg Zuerlein field goal. A friend put to me that, I put a photo out there that Atlanta was just looking at the ball, like literally just staring at the ball.
They were mesmerized by it.
Dallas have to wait 10 yards for the ball to go, the ball to get to 10 yards. The Falcons do not have to wait
for the ball to get to 10 yards.
But apparently he thinks, and I still don't believe this, but he thinks they're taught not to try to jump on the ball in case they make a mistake and then it goes to the defensive side.
As soon as somebody from Atlanta touches it, the ball is live, whether it's gone 10 yards or not.
I get that, massive guys that could just dive on the ball.
You get 2 or 3 people to dive on it, and then nobody else can get underneath you. Yeah. You just dive on it.
It was like a spinning top.
They were mesmerized by it. They were hypnotized by it.
And there was about 6 of them around just looking at the ball.
And what Dallas did really well was they basically boxed out Atlanta. By the time it was getting there, they were boxing out for a rebound. And they boxed them out, and there was just no way that anyone from Atlanta was going to get to it because they had bodies in front of them.
Yeah, that's right. And then they just did it. They did it perfectly. You know, CeeDee Lamb got a shotgun pass from Prescott for 24 yards, and then a sort of short game by Zeke, and then they were just ready to go, set up, and then Zuerlein just kicked the field goal. So it was – I mean, honestly, they shouldn't have won. I'm going to be completely honest. I mean, I'm glad they won, but they shouldn't have won that game, really, considering how phenomenal Atlanta played in that first quarter, how terrible they played. But I guess it showed a little bit of resilience. But, oh, my God, I'm sick of it.
Well, that's the thing. It's all well and good to say that you come back, but to sort of overcome that little bit of adversity and just one of those games where most things are sticking. Offensively for the Cowboys, it just once they sprung to life and they got the momentum happening, it was too hard for Atlanta to wrestle a back.
To wrestle, you're right. Yeah, that's exactly right. But it's not like they had a slim lead. It was a pretty decent sized lead to sort of hold that in there. But
the thing too is. Earlier on in the game, they sort of went for a 2-point conversion and missed it.
Mm.
So instead of just going for the PAT, they've gone for the 2-point conversion to try and push them out beyond the field goal, and it didn't come off. And that essentially has cost them the game. When yeah, you think that's about right. It's you take the extra point. This happens. It's 40 all instead of 40-39, and you go to overtime and you take your chances in overtime.
Yeah, exactly. They just, I don't know. For me, well, they, and that's probably what you're right. It's, at the end of the day, that's probably what could have happened. I mean, I could see why they would have went for the 2 points. I just don't know what. I mean, we're week two already, and Atlanta's 0-2. I don't know what they do. I really, out of every team, you can sort of pick little things.
Look, I think they just got to stick. They just got to stick with the process. I think, you know, Julio Jones, you know, being hampered a little bit in that game, and he's obviously not going to be around for a couple of weeks, I don't think. So it's just, I don't know. Like, you know, we said it all last year.
I get what you're saying, but they've done the same thing over and over. It's not like they got rid of Austin Hooper. They brought in Hayden Hurst, which is, he's playing pretty good, really. But they're not. It's not like they're going out like all these other teams, like Seattle and all that, like getting Jamal Adams. They're not. I don't know what they're doing. Are they in purgatory? And they don't know what they want to do.
They're not essentially rolling the dice. You know what I mean? To sort of make them exponentially better than what they have been. You know, them turfing Devontae Freeman, you know, before the season started, is a little strange. You know, and then picking up, an essentially injured Todd Gurley, and we'll see what his production continues to be like as the season goes on. You know, whether this was a good move or not.
I'm assuming because of the way Devontae Freeman plays, he's probably anchored for that. But you're right. I mean, Todd Gurley is prone to injuries. Clearly prone to injuries. So it would be interesting. I don't know. They're just a side that you never hear, except for Todd Gurley. So I did miss that one. I don't know what they can do because it's like they're happy to stick with what they've got, and then they'll just wait for Matt Ryan to get old and retire, and then they might start rebuilding. I don't know. I really don't know.
No, that's right. Yeah, that doesn't look like they've got. Yeah, you know, Calvin Ridley is the bright young spark. And Hayden Hurst as well. Now that they've got Hayden Hurst, they sort of. Not so much upgraded.
He was good. He's been good the last two games.
Tight end position, but they got younger at the tight end position, and that's good. Like he's a terrific. He's a good blocker, and he's a good, and he's a good pass catcher. So, you know, that's what you want in, you know, because Baltimore last year had, you know, they were playing a lot of three tight end sets.
Yeah.
So they just had too many, and for them to be able to turn around and to be able to pick up, Atlanta to be able to pick up a good quality. A good quality tight end like Hayden Hurst, essentially after losing Austin Hooper, those sorts of things are good. But it's especially the last couple of years defensively they've been pretty ordinary. 39 points should absolutely win you.
Oh, 100%.
9 games out of 10.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The next game is the one you touched on right at the start that, you know, speaking of teams that really don't know what they're doing at the moment is the Vikings going down to the Colts of all teams, 28-11.
That was a stink fest.
I mean, that rookie Justin Jefferson played pretty good, you know, considering he is, I guess, the number two wide receiver there. He only got 44 yards and 3 catches, but he was okay. I don't know. I think it was like you just said at the start. I think it was just Kirk Cousins, you know, throwing 3 interceptions, only getting 113 yards, not even getting 50% in completion rate.
No, exactly. He was horrendous throwing the ball. By the end of the game, he was 11 for 26. Like that's just he was 6 for 17 in the first half for 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
I guess every quarterback has those types of games where they're just, you know, nothing's working, and it just that was definitely one of those games where absolutely nothing was working for Minnesota. And yeah, and credit to Phillip Rivers, yeah, he gets his first win, you know, even though he throws a first half interception.
Every time you mention Phillip Rivers, I just know what's running through your head. It's either got something about how old he is, like old man Rivers, or about his gigantic amount of kids that he has.
Old man Rivers and his 16 kids.
I mean, he had a decent that Jonathan Taylor looks like already looks like, you know, a really good sort of pickup at the running back there.
Oh yeah, oh yards, yeah, he I like him a lot. Like I like him a lot. I think that's that was a pretty good draft choice.
Yeah.
You know, by them as by the Colts. You know, not that
considering how Marlon Mack played last year, it was interesting.
That's right. You can't help injuries, and Achilles tear is 12 months. And, you know, for a footballer, especially a running back where you've got to sort of generate a lot of power with your legs, that's going to be something tough for Marlon Mack to come back from. But, you know, in saying that, they've got a good bell cow there in Jonathan Taylor.
Their biggest thing is they've got, you know, bell cows and Jonathan Taylor, but man, their defense keeps them in games. You know, when you've got big units like Darius Leonard and DeForest Buckner, because they picked him up from San Francisco, wasn't it? The 49ers or?
49ers, yeah.
Yeah. So, and they, you know, those two monsters, you know, alone, like Darius Leonard, you know, got six tackles, but. Oh my God, DeForest Buckner! Every time he looks like he's going to sack someone, he's so huge. His neck is huge. It's completely proportioned with his massive body. their defense kept them in that game. But you're right. I think Jonathan Taylor's definitely a good one. I mean, look, on the other side, Dalvin Cook did all right still, 14 carries, 63 yards. Yeah.
The thing is, like, you've got to be able to learn on the run. So, they can see that Kirk Cousins is having an absolute shocker. So you just try and sort of scheme up some things to get Dalvin Cook going. Like, it's just, you know, he only had 14 rushes. Mm. It was just a little strange that you could see, clearly you could see that Kirk Cousins is struggling a lot. So... Try and dial up something to try and get your running game to try and get you something. Like it was just really weird. And it just didn't look like there was a lot of adjustment. And once again, you know, we mentioned it last week, you know, Minnesota scoring 34 points in 18 minutes, time of possession. This game wasn't much better. They had 21 minutes time of possession.
Yeah.
So it failing to be able to convert, you know, on third down, I think, they're two for nine on third down. You're just gifting the ball back. They only had eight total first downs in the whole game. Yeah. So you just, you know, if your guy, you know, your guy's struggling, that's going to be tough to overcome.
I get that, but you're right. I just don't think Kirk Cousins is playing well at the moment, personally. I just, you know, he really isn't. I mean, this is a playoff team that, you know, we're a couple of wins, or if not one win, away from the Super Bowl. So I think Kirk Cousins needs to play a lot better.
Oh, for their playoff run, they walked in there, waltzed into New Orleans and knocked off the Saints in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, they did. So yeah, they did, and they looked.
Nobody's
seen that coming. No, that's right. And then it didn't end up working out well for them. Next game, or a couple more games I want to touch on, but. Are the Bills beat the Dolphins? Yeah, okay, it's 31-28. But Mike, are they the real deal at the moment? Because Josh Allen is, man, well, he's lighting me points up for fantasy.
That's true. You know, I'm hearing you in regards to what Josh Allen is doing. But you know, I kind of want to pump the brakes a little bit because, they beat the Jets, who are probably going to be the number one pick for next year. And this week, do you know what I mean? They knock off, you know, not to say that Miami isn't going to be a bad team or a good team. Like they've clearly spent a lot of money defensively to try and shore up their backfield a little bit. Still, I guess, a little bit limited on offense. Just in regards to sort of the wide receiver position, Miles Gaskin looks like he's sort of becoming the new go-to guy in the run game. You know, like you said, you know, Matt Breida and Jordan Howard are there as well.
That's why it's weird. I just like they picked up all these running backs on the free agency, and then they stuck with Gaskin, so to speak. Well, not stuck with him. No, it's just right. Weird.
And that's it. Miami just they wouldn't go away. And as much as the Bills tried to put them away, especially in that fourth quarter, which was fairly high scoring for both teams.
Yeah.
They would not go away, which is a good sign for the Dolphins. That they can sort of stay in games and, you know, essentially sort of, you know, the Bills, you know, like you said, they're running hot. That's terrific. You know, Stephon Diggs looks like he's just not missing a beat there.
That is to me so far, and it's only 2 weeks, but at the moment, that's the best free agency signing so far. He has not skipped a beat, exactly, so far.
But let's just pump the brakes a little bit on the Bills because, yeah, they've knocked off two pretty ordinary divisional teams. So let's see how we go in the next couple of weeks when they play some real opponents.
Yeah.
And see how they go from there.
I know you love Fitzmagic, but I really think it's going to be a matter of time if they keep losing that Tua is going to play.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's only a matter of time. Fitzmagic might get half the season. And if it looks like the season is essentially lost and they're not doing well in the division in the standings, then they might hand the reins over to Tua.
Yeah.
I think he's going to get, you know, he's going to get some reps this year. I think they should be smart about it in either blowout games, either way, whether they're blowing out someone, which is going to be pretty hard to fathom if they are. But, you know, in blowout games that they're getting beat, yeah, maybe you throw him in for a series.
Yeah, no, I think so. Just to get him
out there, just to get him on the field, get him the feel for it, get in the atmosphere, get in a rhythm.
If they keep losing, I think they're just gonna. I'm not saying you're gonna put pressure on him because it's probably not the best way, but just to get the rhythm in, I think. The other game, the other game really want to talk about, not so much, I guess, the game itself. The 49ers beat the Jets 31-13, but how many players they lost in that game, the 49ers?
No, I've ran out of fingers and toes trying to count how many injuries they had in this game.
Obviously they lost Garoppolo, and, you know, Bosa, which is a huge, huge loss.
Bosa is the most important and devastating injury that come out of week 2.
Oh, 100%. But even
I get it. Saquon Barkley was hurt, tore his ACL, and he's done for the season as well. But, you know, in regards to sort of importance to the team, I think Nick Bosa, you know, the linchpin to that defense, especially last year as well, and for him to come out second game of the season and tear his ACL, that's not looking good for San Francisco. Whether it hurts them in the immediate future because they've got the lowly New York Giants next week, or it will hurt them, you know, when they start to meet up with the big boys.
I mean, even Raheem Mostert got injured in that, and he's been playing those well in the first two games. He ended up getting 92 yards in that game, and 80-yard touchdown was pretty good.
Don't forget, 80 yeah, of those yards were in one play.
Oh, yeah, that's true, but he still had to do it. At the end of the day, he still had to get there. So,
right, that means he had seven other carries for 12 yards. That's a little underwhelming.
The other running back looks not too bad too, Jerick McKinnon. You know, three carries for 77 yards. So, I've got a 55-yard touchdown. There wasn't much to cover in the game. It was just more just. I mean, I'm not really going to talk about the Jets. There's no way I'm talking about the Jets, but just the amount of injury, like you said, I don't know. I just can't give the Jets any airtime. Bosa easily. I completely agree with you. Bosa is probably the most important injury ahead of week 2.
That's right. Yeah, there was some significant injuries, but you know, especially season-ending injuries. You know, we'll go on about it a little bit later. There's a few guys that are superstars that have been hurt that. will be back in a couple of weeks. But, you know, there's season-ending injuries. You know, obviously, Nick Bosa and Saquon Barkley are two, notable and the biggest from, the biggest stars of this weekend that their season is finished.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Are there any other games you sort of wanted to touch on at all?
Look, I thought Seattle and New England was a good game. I think that was the later game. Actually, that might have been the Sunday night football game, the NBC game.
It was the final game of that Sunday night.
The final game of the round on Monday's, sort of morning slash going into the afternoon. Look, it didn't start off very well for the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. Three plays into the first series and he throws a pick six. They had their work cut out for him to start everything off. It looked like they'd sort of gone away from the pass game a little bit, the Seahawks, and they sort of gave Chris Carson plenty of work early.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, Russell Wilson, five touchdowns. Like, what the man? He is just he's there's something in the water up there in
Seattle.
He's
hungry for that MVP. I'm telling you right now, he's sick of these young Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes getting all the plaudits, which they deserve it. I'm not disputing that. I reckon he's biding his time. He's sick of it and just saying, don't forget about me.
That's right. Yeah. What about me?
Cam Newton had a game too in that. He had a pretty...
he was great. He was great. So was Julian Edelman was massive.
Yeah, no, Julian Edelman getting 179 yards was absolutely ridiculous. I don't know, it begs the question for me, especially with the way some teams are going, that what did Cam Newton do wrong for no one to pick him up, or they had to pick him up so late, Patriots? Patriots have a habit of picking up players.
It's just purely over the last couple of years he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Like, that's the thing. You can't invest bulk money in something, especially if you're having foot problems and lower limb problems for a guy that is, one of the best running quarterbacks that the league's seen. He's a big body guy. And when you start to have these lower leg injuries and ankle injuries and foot injuries and stuff like that, like it looked pretty serious last year. And nobody, unfortunately, was really willing to take a chance on him. And the Patriots, it sort of looked like they just set up for this all along. They just sat back and waited and nobody else would take him. And this is like, right, we'll chuck you a movie and a half. Come play for us.
Yeah.
And it's sort of rejuvenating, but it'll just be subject to health.
To health. They
keep him healthy, he'll be right. But just in this game, I thought, the him throwing the ball 44 times, I don't think is the right ingredients for a New England win, even though, they nearly stole it at the end.
They did. What did you think of that sort of fourth? What did you think of that sort of fourth play call with, the Seahawks just stood there.
He tried to jump over the top of everybody. I mean. He just got stuffed by two people.
Yeah, well, he tried to jump over Bobby Wagner, and that's just not going to happen.
That's right, and he got stuffed. So,
Wagner's just not – that guy's not going to move at all.
No, exactly. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you've got a 240-pound torpedo coming at you. Like, he just bumped off him. It just and it looks spectacular. His legs went up in the air and everything. It looks spectacular, but he just bounced off him like a tennis ball off a brick wall.
Did you like the call, Bart? What was it? I mean, it's all hearsay, I guess, but I don't. Yeah, I wasn't.
I'm thinking of the result than the actual play itself. Like, it's like a lot of plays in football. If it comes off, you're a genius. If it doesn't, you're a dope. You go back to the Seahawks in the Super Bowl a few years ago. Why in the hell, when they're on the 2 yard line, is Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll drawing up a play to pass to somebody when you've got Marshawn Lynch there? Just punch it in. And then Malcolm Butler makes the interception and the game's over against the Patriots. Funnily enough, it's these two teams. But it just did not make any sense why he's throwing that close to the goal line when you've got Marshawn Lynch.
No, that's exactly right. No, yeah, I agree. Well, he might end up playing again if Chris Carson injury keeps doesn't help. But that's beside the point. I agree. I think Seahawks. I don't think anyone wrote them off, but I think I just think they're hungry. They're really, you know, hungry enough to go and get Jamal Adams. So I think
that's right. They're in it for the now. To win.
They have the now, exactly. So,
and they've got a couple of good wide receivers. Obviously Chris Carson there as well, you know, at running back, and he's a good pass catcher. So
Carlos Hyde's a backup too, you know.
That's right. That's a good backup as well.
Running back.
Well, and they lost Rashad Penny throughout the training camp, so they had to go out and get, you know, a decent backup. So yeah. And that's right. Carlos Hyde is a very good backup, you know, sort of secondary run option. So, yeah, they're in it for the now.
Their defense is great too. You know, Bill Wagner, we've mentioned Jamal Adams, and they've got another great cornerback in Shaquille Griffin as well. So
yeah, that's right.
Was there any other games before we look at finishing up?
Look, you know, I guess we could sort of, you know, touch on, you know, like I said, you know, as much as I don't want to, but you know, the Saints go into Las Vegas,
yeah,
and go in and limp home. Once again, defensively, they were ordinary. Having 34 points put on you by Vegas, I don't care whether it's at their brand new stadium or not. For me, the thing that was inexcusable for me was obviously they didn't have Michael Thomas there. You go out last year and you get Emmanuel Sanders. But in this game where it's, you know, kind of important to sort of spread the ball around a little bit, he gets three targets and one reception.
Yeah.
Like that can't happen. Like Sean Payton is one of the best, you know, offensive minds that's going around. Like you have to be able to draw things up for him. We all get it. He's, what is he, 32 now? He's not a spring chicken, but he's a good receiver. Like you have to be able to try and find things and work ways for him to get involved in the ball game. Three targets. That can't happen.
You don't want to, like Kamara obviously top the receiving and the rushing. I don't like the ingredient. You can't just rely on him over and over again.
They have to spread things around.
That's what I mean. I don't like the idea. Look, it worked for Christian McCaffrey and the Panthers, but I don't like the idea.
Yeah, look how they went last year.
That's right. That's why I don't like the idea of a running back topping both rushing and receiving. I think you have, yes,
yeah, of course, Michael Thomas is out. There's going to be games out there where Kamara gets stuffed. You know, and gets stomped out of a game. You know, you might have a couple of drops, or they stack the box. So you can't make those running meters. It's going to happen when you come uber one dimensional like that. And okay, the Saints were pretty one dimensional last year with Michael Thomas getting 149 receptions, but that's to me is a bit of a problem. Like they've got a rookie tight end there in Troutman. You can get him involved in the game. You know, Jared Cook is a bit of a favorite target for Drew Brees.
Yeah, he went missing in that game, I thought.
Jared that's right. That's what I mean. He likes big tight ends.
Yeah, he's
a bit of a unit at tight end. But, you know, they've got to get guys like Traquan Smith involved a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But that was the thing that was just absolutely inexcusable for me was the amount of looks and receptions that Emmanuel Sanders got. That just can't happen.
On the other side, across the board, their players played good. Derek Carr played pretty good. You know, three touchdowns, zero interceptions for 284 yards. Josh Jacobs did what he did last year, 27 carries at 88 yards. But it was Darren Waller for me.
Darren Waller, killer.
My God.
Absolute killer.
12 catches, 105 yards, and one touchdown. So, have you seen that stadium? Have you actually seen a picture of that stadium?
It looks wild. Aren't they calling it the Death Star?
It looks like a Death Star.
It's crazy.
It's the same colors as the black and gray that they have, but it's all You know, they raved about SoFi Stadium, but this stadium looks, I mean, it's this, Vegas, yeah, so it's going to be.
Who cares about SoFi Stadium? This stadium looks unbelievable.
It looks so good. The thing is, they said, and it does, it looks so good from the outside just as much as the inside if you wanted to sit outside and look at it.
That's crazy.
They've got all these lines going. It's a Death Star. It's going to take someone out. I swear to God, it looks awesome.
As long as it's not one of the nearby casinos.
Wow, that's true. But it's, man, it's there, it's out. You can just tell, like, it's out the middle of, like, it's not in Vegas, clearly, because of just
everything. Oh, no, it's just across the road from the strip.
Yeah, but I mean, well, I suppose.
Which one? I think it's the southern end of the strip. So you got, like, Mandalay Bay, Luxor, Excalibur, that are all fairly close to that. Not that I know the Vegas.
Yeah, strip, no, you've just named them all in one row, so yeah, that's cool.
You know, yeah, what do you got after that? You got like New York, and anyway. But it's at that back end there. I think across the road, you know, you got the MGM Grand as well. And I think the Tropicana is still there, and it's right there. There was all this, I just remember when we were being there, and there was all this spare land behind this Shell service station that was right across the road from where we were staying at the Luxor. It was just this random Shell service station with poker machines in it. Like, what the hell kind of place has poker machines in a service station? But, you know, there was just all this spare land there, and that was 7 years ago. There was just nothing there. So it's good that they've sort of put that there, and it's an amazing-looking stadium.
I guess before we move on to studs and duds, I just touched on a couple of the other key injuries for the week. Not so much the game, but Christian McCaffrey had a high ankle sprain in his game, which doesn't look like it's going to keep him out for the season. It doesn't look like it.
I think it's only a couple of weeks for McCaffrey. So that's obviously you think about it. There's a lot of money that's going to be invested in Christian McCaffrey, and that's obviously one of the big wheels that makes Carolina turn.
Yeah, exactly.
That could hurt him a little bit in the coming weeks. I hope sort of Bridgewater can dig them out of that a little bit. So that's me. They're significant injuries, but they're not. I don't think they're going to miss a whole lot of time.
Broncos lost a couple. They lost. Drew Lock had a sprained AC joint, but Cortland Sutton, torn ACL.
Yeah,
so,
killer.
Yeah.
So, please stand up, Mr. Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, you're going to have to. He has no choice. Devonta Adams had a hamstring injury. It looks like he only sort of missed one game by the looks of it. So,
I don't think he's going to be out for very long. But, those hamstring injuries, the same sort of thing as Julio Jones. Like, when you're a wide receiver like that it makes you hard to stretch out. So that could sort of hamper them a little bit, but I don't think that much. Like Aaron Rodgers, the way that he's playing at the moment, he's going to make anyone look good.
And there was one other injury, but it's going to touch on my dud of the week, so I'll leave that towards later. Like key injury.
Look, I mean, Byron Jones got hurt as well.
Byron Jones, that was another bad one, and he got a groin injury, so. He had niggling sort of Achilles issues anyway coming into that game. So, there's another one that's, it's got tied in with my dud of the week. So, which I suppose we can sort of touch on them now if you want.
Yeah, no, let's hit it.
So my dud is the Los Angeles Chargers doctor who...
Yeah, what on earth happened there?
Who decided to give, he's gave Tyrod Taylor a injection, but because he's got cracked ribs, so he's given an injection, like a painkiller injection. Unfortunately, it's punctured his lung, which is...
Good God, how big must that needle be?
That's a good point, I never thought
of
that.
Holy moly, yeah, the hell with that, if they're coming out with something that's looking like a horse needle, it's like, nah. Yeah, I'm just going to sit for a couple of weeks and you can start Justin Herbert. Nobody's sticking that anywhere near me.
Who had a good game, Justin Herbert, just quietly. You know, 22 out of 33 for
3-11. Man, they played super impressive. Oh,
Chargers. They should have won that. They could have won that.
I think they should have won that.
But that
Kansas City couldn't get out of second gear offensively. I think they went there and just went, It's only the Chargers.
It's only the Chargers.
And it took them 3.5 quarters to shake it off and go, oh, hang on a minute, they're giving us a good real run for our money here. You know, yeah. And obviously Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, and you know, when you've got guys like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and you know, the likes of that, then it's going to make it's going to make it a little bit easier for you to come back. And that was an amazing sort of, you know, come from behind win, you know, in overtime that Kansas City, for Kansas City in LA.
The thing is, firstly, a doctor, a qualified doctor puncturing a lung is just...
How does that happen?
You know, and Tyrod Taylor, yeah, it wouldn't be on exceedingly big quarterback money, but he is their starting quarterback. I don't know how that happens, firstly. And secondly, he's talking that he might be out for a few more weeks because they don't want to risk him
playing.
Yeah,
it looks like it is going to be...
He couldn't even have a season, they're saying, because it's... a punctured lung, so
it's going to be a couple of weeks at least. I wouldn't think you would just come back, you know, fairly quickly or easily from a punctured lung. And also, he's obviously got this rib injury as well, so that would be making it double hard to try and breathe. So I think that this team is going to be led around by Justin Herbert for a little while now.
Who, again, I watched the Hard Knocks. My God, that kid's got an arm like a big arm.
Oh, cannon!
He's is nothing of him, but my God,
cannon, absolute cannon. Yeah, it's like ridiculous. Josh Allen. It's like Josh Allen, but he's actually accurate.
Well, yeah, good point. Yeah, I can see why you say the jury probably is still a little bit out on the Bills, but I'm just hoping they top the division. I just don't want the they're not playing bad. I just don't want the Patriots to top the division. So
they still look pretty good, but I think it's the Bills division for the taking. I think the AFC.
Yeah. Who was your dud of the week, or what was your dud of the week, depending?
Well, you know, we talked about it earlier. Look, it's pretty obvious. It's Atlanta and their absolute, you know, just debacle of, you know, a recovery of a short kickoff, you know, of an onside kick. Like to sit there and just and be hypnotized by, you know, a spinning top, which, you know, the ball wasn't kicked off a tee. Yeah, so many things had to go right for that ball to stay in bounds, to do what it did, and just everybody to just look at it and go, what in the hell am I even looking at? Oh, hang on a minute. Oh wait, the Cowboys the Cowboys have got the ball. Whoops. So I think just Atlanta and Atlanta in general, really, like, you know, you can't really sort of call somebody a dud for having their soul stolen a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl, but that just seems to be a lingering issue that just will not go away.
It's like a witch's cast, like not a spell, but like a curse on them, and it just will not go away. Unfortunately,
well, it wasn't a witch. It was a wizard, and his name is Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, yeah, good point. Yeah, good point. Who was your start of the week?
For me. You know, we sort of touched on it before there. It was, for me, it was Harrison Butker. Mm-hmm. Two times they made him kick that 58-yarder.
Yeah.
Quarter timeout, just before he kicked it, slots it straight down the middle. And the Chargers call a timeout. It was a career long for him, and he kicked it twice.
Yeah, and he kicked it twice.
It was unbelievable. So, you know, and that was the thing. Yeah, Kansas City did not lead any time in that game except for that kick.
Good point.
You know, I guess we could sort of, you know, sort of a secondary stud was, yeah, it's all about kickers this week, you know, Zuerlein, you know, with his field goal, and Gostkowski as well, you know, he had essentially a game winner against those pesky Jags. Dolphins, they just won't go away.
Yeah, you don't want them to win because you want them to have a high draft pick, but they just want to keep winning for some reason.
It's crazy, you know. The Tennessee sort of had, you know, that ample opportunity to win that game and to put Jacksonville away. And yeah, Jacksonville were like Miami. It must just be a Florida thing or something. They just would not go away. And Tennessee had to fight and claw for everything.
Yeah,
in that game, it was crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I think, just before I move on to my start of the week, I think just in that game, I don't know what's happening Oh, well, I'm not going to talk about Minshew Mania, but is Derrick Henry a bit quiet?
I think he's been a little underutilized, I guess. You know, whether they're trying to get their Ryan Tannehill in a bit of a groove to start the season off, and he's played pretty well.
Yeah, no, he has playing. I mean, like, he got 84 yards in that game, so that's not like nothing to sneeze at, but.
But that's a regular type game for Derrick Henry.
Which just sounds ridiculous, but maybe it's just not reading into it. Maybe it just seems quieter. It's probably because they had such a run in that and back end of the season into the playoffs. That's probably why.
His form at the back end of the season was otherworldly. But that's just got a funny feeling that they might be trying to get Ryan Tannehill going.
Yeah.
To start the season off, they know what they're gonna have. In Derrick Henry, so you can't really sort of fault them too much for doing what they're doing. They're 2-0,
they're still running hot.
That's right. Yeah, they're doing pretty well. So yeah, they haven't really got that sort of big number one receiver Tennessee. So Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, the tight end. I think their receiving core is a little thin. I think when the game sort of get put on the line, they're going to rely on Derrick Henry a lot.
Yeah, I think so. Mine, speaking of otherworldly, my start of the week was Aaron Jones. Just career night. Three touchdowns, 168 yards, 68 catches, 68 receiving yards. He was, my God, he was otherworldly. He got a 75-yard touchdown too, which was ridiculous. It was against the Lions, don't get me wrong, but he everything was a career night for him. It was absolutely ridiculous. He was phenomenal.
Are going to be. Yeah, we sort of said it last week. It's the Detroit Lions, but they've offensively. Yeah, Detroit shouldn't really be as bad as what they are. Defensively, you think they should be pretty good. I think it was the third pick in this year's draft, Jeff Okuna, the corner. Like he should be able to affect things in good ways for Detroit moving forward. So, I really don't think that Detroit should be this bad offensively. And we sort of touched on it. In week one, like what is Detroit looking for? Like, I think there'd be a lot of teams now that are a quarterback away from really challenging, playoff wise and getting a Super Bowl. And I think Matt Stafford, you keep him healthy. Yeah, Matt Stafford's got a cannon of an arm too. Like he's got.
So you think
a big arm.
So you think if they fall that low, you think they could take like Trevor Lawrence, who's. We keep saying his name because this kid's going to be – there's no one close at the moment that's going to be – he's going to be the number one pick. There's no one that else that's going to be as close to what he is going to be, the number one pick. So we keep saying – we'll probably say his name every week.
There's nobody close skill-wise or neck thickness that's going to the rival.
Or red hair long.
surfer dude-looking hair.
Not a bad thought because, Stafford's is he 32? So he's not old. Well, not quarterback old.
Not. But I think that back injury that he dealt with last year, I think, whether or not he's fully recovered, fully healthy from that. So I think he can still, if on the right team, he could definitely affect, your win percentage on a borderline playoff team and put Matt Stafford in there. And I think he could drastically improve you.
They need for Detroit, they need, look, if they fall, then they get Trevor Lawrence, all good, but they still need an elite wide receiver because it keeps topping the yards each week is TJ Hockenson, which is fine as a tight end, but they don't have a standout wide receiver at the moment.
No.
It was weird for me, you got DeAndre Swift at pick number three. He wasn't pick number three. He was the third running back. So he was picked. He was in the
round. Yeah, I think he was picked in the second round, 35.
But he was the third best running back on the board. Why did they decide to then pick up Adrian Peterson?
Oh yeah, who wouldn't want to be mentored by Adrian Peterson if you're a young rookie? But like, you know, he's one of the greatest running backs. Whether it's more of a mentor type role, and they probably would have picked him up on the cheap. I'm pretty sure they picked him up on the cheap. So why not?
Boy, I mean, he topped the rushing yard, so he still can get done.
Peterson's getting work.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is definitely getting work. I just they're a team, like you said, that it's not a bad idea. I don't mind Stafford going to another team, depending on where he goes. If anyone needs a quarterback, and we'll probably touch on them next week, is Chicago, because they don't know what to do with the
division. You know, just sort of pulled up the standings here. You know, you look at, you know, maybe a team like the Washington football team.
Yeah, it's not bad.
You know, the Denver Broncos. You know, who's to say what they've got in Drew Locke? You know, maybe he's not ready for the big time.
No.
You know, the Los Angeles Chargers are, the rookie, Justin Herbert's there, but who's to say that he's going to be ready for it? You put Matthew Stafford in there.
Yeah.
And they've got an offense that's insane there at the Chargers.
Yeah.
You put, Mike Williams, Eckler, Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
They've got weapons there. I think he could go really well there at the Chargers.
Or you get rid of one Baker Mayfield and you put Stafford in with all those weapons at the Cleveland Browns. That would be awesome.
I think he would be mature enough to be able to play that type of game.
It's not going to happen. Not in rookie deals. Yeah. It's not going to happen, clearly. Not in rookie deals. They just don't do that. But, yeah, it's an interesting thought.
Like I said, some of those teams their quarterback is either too young, or if you start going looking at other teams around the league, then their quarterback is too old. Like, you know, just think about what Matt Stafford could do with the Saints.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. No, that's a fair point. I mean, Drew will play next year, but
I don't know if he'll play next year.
Oh, he signed a two-year deal, didn't he?
He signed a two-year deal, but I think there's conditions in it.
You don't reckon he'll play next year?
I don't know. If he looks ordinary this year, and if the Saints have another horror run, if they make it to the playoffs, I think he's going to be done.
I suppose you don't want to tarnish like his stellar record.
I don't think he's going to do that. But if it looks like he's going to start falling off a cliff. You know, arm wise, it doesn't look like he's got the biggest throwing arm at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, it's like what New England has had for a little while. You know, with not so much casted arm, but there's so much more you can do, like what Bill Belichick is doing with Cam Newton, just with a younger, more athletic quarterback. What could Sean Payton do with somebody like Matt Stafford, or like he's got at the moment? If he can coach the reckless out of Jameis Winston, you know, that's a 5,000. You know, last year he had 5,000 yards passing.
Yeah. If he can coach that out, that he'd be the one to hold on. He'd be definitely the one to hold on.
To get rid of the ball just that little bit earlier, then who the hell knows what that could be.
Even just looking at it, even someone like, imagine if it doesn't work out, you get rid of Kirk Cousins. Even the Vikings with their weapons.
Oh, man. That's right.
Stafford would go pretty well. So, it's an interesting thought, actually. I mean, everybody's going to be gunning for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, that's pretty evident. We'll keep saying that because that's going to happen. Well, that'll do it, I guess, for week two for the NFL pod. Don't forget, follow us on Facebook, which is Final Play Podcast, and Twitter at Final Play Pod. Also, you can get all our pods everywhere. Spotify, our main boys at Gimko, gimko.com.au. Our main boys, Dom and Mojo King. Thanks for putting them up there. It's completely grateful because it gives us sort of more people, or more reaches more people. That not everybody loves Facebook, I'll put it that way.
No, well, I see on the Gimco side, you don't even need a login or anything like that. You can just click on community, the podcast section is there, and you can play it straight off the browser.
Yeah,
you don't need to have Spotify or a certain fruit or anything of that. Like you could just I just refuse to say their name.
No, that's okay. We'll probably get sued if we do anyway. No, but you're right. No, yeah, you don't have to off Gimco. And again, like I said, not everybody has social media, but you know, a lot of people, I'm noticing a lot more. Not everyone has social media, but a lot of people trade cards and buy cards. So it's two totally different things.
It's a very cult like community.
Yeah, I would say that that's probably the best way to put it. It's a very cult like community.
I'm one of the people that's regularly participating in this cult like behavior. So, I know all about it.
That's awesome. Cult like. Oh well, that's how I'm gonna finish it. Well.
Got rumbled in the NFL break this week. Ended up picking up the Raiders, but got smoked. I didn't even think I got anything. Nothing. So that's what happens. It could be feast or famine. So I'm not disappointed. I always like going in the breaks and watching them and what's it. There was some big stuff that got pulled. There was 2 1-on-ones that got pulled out of that break. This NFL one, and one was an absolute monster.
You can't say who it was, or you're not. Is it sort of
monster rookie? Go and check it out. A monster rookie for this year. Monster.
Wow, really?
Oh,
no. Uh
oh. Monster.
There can only be one person.
Unbelievable.
Ooh, wow. That's wow.
And I think it was out of Immaculate, which means it's just got, whoa, that's just straight rare. Cash.
That's pretty rare. Well,
Immaculate,
yeah.
I can't remember how many cards Immaculate's got in there, but I think they only have like 8 to 10 cards per box, and Immaculate is like, yeah, they can be anywhere between $3,000 and $5,000 a box.
Oh my God. Okay.
Oh, you know, Immaculate, you know, EMAC, if you can afford EMAC, ooh. But to have this rookie come out was just gigantic.
Okay, I know who it is then. I'll look, but I know who it is. That's awesome. Well, my name's Jason. I'm never going to join this cult, Smith, at all. At all. Because I'll get sucked in.
I'm Miles. Always will be in this cult, Plum.
I follow cults for a living, Plum.
Card cult Plum.
That's so good. All right. Have a good week, everyone. Enjoy your NFL. All right.
See ya.